evening, ladies and gentlemen. I'm William Cooper, and you're listening to the Hour of the Time. Tonight is going to be one of those classic broadcasts. Make sure you have pen and paper by your side. Those of you who have computers, you might want to go to the website, look at our lead story there. I think this is probably going to make a lot of waves. Not going to endear me to the meat industry, I can assure you of that. Everybody thinks they're going to lose some money. They don't give a damn about somebody's lives. They just don't want to lose any money. And so I'm compelled to pop a few bubbles tonight, unfortunately. So get comfortable. Make sure you got whatever you need there and a pen and paper and all that kind of stuff, because the Buffalo chip is about to hit the fan. Stop it right now, folks. Before you take that next bite, you had better listen to what I'm about to tell you. This is an exclusive broadcast, January 30th, 2001. Mad cow disease, bovine spongiform encephalopathy, or BSE for short, is in the United States of America. It has been here for a long time. It's not new. It is deadly. And depending upon exactly who I'm talking to, somewhere between 250,000 and 1 million cattle die from mad cow disease in the United States every single year. It is a cover-up of monumental proportions. I became interested in mad cow disease when it became a serious problem in Europe. It seemed very strange to me that a centuries-old sheep disease was suddenly running rampant in European cattle. I stopped believing the assertion that Americans were in no danger when the Food and Drug Administration announced that gelatin, a product made from the hooves and other parts of bovines, could no longer be considered safe for human consumption. And so I got on the phone, and I began asking very pointed questions that made some people very nervous and others very scared. And I knew then that I was on to something big. Bovine spongiform encephalopathy, BSE, is an ancient disease that has historically only infected sheep. Every shepherd is familiar with Scrappy. No sheep has ever been known to survive the disease. The brain of a sheep infected with Scrappy is riddled with holes and looks just like a sponge. The cause of Scrappy, ladies and gentlemen, was a mystery until the mid-70s when Dr. Stanley Prusiner at the University of California School of Medicine, San Francisco, doing research on the cause of Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease of the elderly, discovered the prion. That's a proteinaceous infectious particle, a protein molecule without genetic material that is somehow mysteriously formed from normally benign protein molecules, which are the foundation of all life. Dr. Prusiner won the Nobel Prize for Medicine for his discovery. Prions are the cause of Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease of the elderly. Scrappy, bovine spongiform encephalopathy, also known as BSE, or mad cow disease. Transmissible spongiform encephalopathy, TSE, or Downer cow syndrome. And possibly, but not yet proven, Alzheimer's disease. The incubation period in animals is about 5 years, and in humans around 10 years. The immune system will not, I repeat, the immune system will not attack prions because they are exactly the same protein that makes up the body, only in a malignant form. The disease destroys the brain of the infected animal or human, and it is always fatal. There is no cure. Prions are not germs. They are not bacteria, viruses, or parasites. They cannot be killed by any known medicine. Cooking meat well done will not kill prions. Boiling food will not kill prions. No known precaution or procedure can prevent infection of animals or humans who consume prion-infected food products. It appears, ladies and gentlemen, that the only sure method of killing prions is cremation. The complete and total burning of every single bit of tissue in the body. The Agricultural Department and the Centers for Disease Control of the United States government have issued repeated assurances to the American people that there is no danger from mad cow disease, BSE, and the media has dutifully spread the message. And, according to the example set by President Clinton, they told the truth. Remember when he said, "It depends upon what your definition of is? You see, they have simply used a trick of semantics to lull us into a deadly sleep. No one, until I came along, has ever asked the right questions. After lengthy discussions and a lot of meetings with a few old country veterinarians, I learned to ask those right questions and began to get some terrifying answers. You see, in this country, it is not called BSE. It's not called mad cow disease, even though it is exactly the same disease with the same symptoms and exactly the same result. You see, here in the United States, it is called transmissible spongiform encephalopathy, TSE, or Downer cow syndrome. And depending upon whose statistic you use, it kills from 250,000 to 1,000,000 cattle each year in the United States. So how and when did this sheep disease begin to infect the general animal population and subsequently the human population? Well, folks, the general consensus of learned opinion is that the practice of grinding up animal waste, in other words, all of the things that comes out of the slaughterhouse that cannot be used in human consumption, they grind it up, process it, and then feed it back to farm animals as a protein supplement. And this is how those who tell us that they have the education to be able to tell us this, is how the disease is spread. Cattle infected with mad cow disease began to appear about 8 years after the agriculture industry adopted this practice for supplementing the food of farm animals and cattle. Most all farm animals in most developed nations that will eventually end up on someone's dinner plate are fed with this animal waste protein supplement. My research, ladies and gentlemen, has revealed that it is not just the government agencies that like to play with words. There are an awful lot of people involved in the meat industry, from farms to ranches, transportation, feedlots, stockyards, slaughterhouses, butchers, meat packers, canneries, cold storage, restaurants, markets, and large food chains. How about McDonald's, Burger King, and all the rest of them? None of these people, none of them, wanted to admit to me that any meat anywhere in the United States might be infected with mad cow disease, or, even despite the records of veterinarians all across this country, Downer's cow syndrome, TSE. But I got to tell you, when the tape recorder wasn't on, I got some startling answers. The latest figures from Europe, folks, indicate that people are spooked. Over there, they're spooked. I mean, this is very serious stuff. And we should have been spooked here a long time ago. The average price of meat in Europe has fallen by at least 25%, and average consumption has dropped 27% just since October, and that's all through the European Union. In Germany, the country that seems to be most spooked by this whole thing. In Germany, two ministers have lost their jobs, with a 36% drop in meat prices and a 50% decline in consumption. Testing and cremation of infected animals has not stopped the spread of the disease. The numbers of infected animals are now so large that carcasses are piling up around crematoriums and the stench wafts for miles upon the breeze. Europe's meat industry is in serious trouble. Prions are known to be spread from cows to their calves in the womb. If that can happen, why not from chickens to their eggs? And does anyone listening to this broadcast know exactly how many products that we use and consume and eat and wear and have injected into us come from cows, or are byproducts from the butcher of sheep, goats, cows, all of these animals, pigs, all of them? Are you aware of just how much of our daily lives depends upon these animals? I don't think most people do. What is safe to eat now, and what is not? Are you safe when you go to the doctor and he gives you an injection that may have, as part of its makeup, a serum that came from a cow, or a sheep, or a pig, or some other animal? Is animal waste fertilizer spreading this disease to vegetable crops? How concerned should we be? And who can we trust, if anyone, to answer these questions truthfully? Does anyone have the slightest idea? Phones are open, folks. 520-333-4578. Prions are actually another form of life. And what Dr. Prusiner did when he discovered prions was actually discover a life form that was never known before. Good evening, you're on the air.
This is Jeffrey from New Orleans.
Hello, Jeffrey.
Hi, the reason I'm calling is to give you some explanations on this mad cow business. First of all, as you know, cows are herbivores that are supposed to eat grass.
That's right.
Here comes the problem. In the 1930s, the federal government passed laws saying that farmers could not feed their cows on the surplus wheat and other grains that they grew themselves, and that if they did so, they would be put in prison and for violating those laws.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's what the Freemen in Montana were fighting about in 1994-95 when they were arrested by the federal government on that very charge.
Mm-hmm.
The problem here is that the only grains that you can now feed cattle are alfalfa, or the cattle have to be transferred from ranchers to feedlot operators who pile them up in various herds in stationary areas and then have to feed them from troughs.
Yeah, I could never understand how anybody could eat very much beef after watching these animals in these feedlots standing sometimes a foot deep in their own waste and just being, you know, they're not allowed to move very much because that takes the fat off the animal. So they just stand there and eat and eat and eat and eat until they go to the slaughterhouse.
Right, and the result of that is that obviously people try to take shortcuts, and in Europe, where this all began, they made the same mistake that human cannibals make when they put brains of animals into the animal feed.
Not just Europe, Jeffrey. Apparently you didn't know it, but we've been doing it here for many years.
Yeah, well, the Agriculture Department claimed that they stopped it in 1990, but apparently they haven't done it.
No, they haven't stopped it. Not only have they not stopped it, but they even gather roadkill and use in this this brew.
Holy smokes. No wonder we've got the potential problem.
Yeah.
Well, I figured I'd call in to let you know that what I knew about the situation, and it has been a long time since I've been able to get to you because I've been watching a series on TV on jazz, which is an unrelated subject. I'll talk to you about that later on another time.
Okay.
Okay, we'll keep in touch.
Thanks for calling.
Bye-bye.
Five, and thanks for that coffee and the donut mix you sent me from New Orleans for Christmas. You know I love that stuff. 520-333-4578 is the number. Yeah, you know, where they have these feedlots, you can smell the feedlot on the highway miles before you ever get to it. And you see these poor cattle standing, you know, in their own waste. It's disgusting. Good evening. You're on the air.
Mr. Cooper.
Yes, sir.
How are you, sir?
Good.
An interesting thing from the biblical point of view, back in the Old Testament, and I will find it for you, it mentions that we should not feed the protein or parts of other animals to bovines.
Yeah.
It's very specific about that in the food laws.
Yep. You're right.
It's interesting that everybody has forsaken the food laws. Everybody calls themselves Christians, but, you know, Christ didn't come back to get rid of the old laws.
No, this isn't a religious broadcast.
I know it's not.
We're not going to preach food laws to anybody. They may not belong to our religion.
Right. But it's interesting that we are in violation of a lot of those food laws that
yes.
were discovered a long time ago.
Yes, and there's reasons for that. I mean, there's a reason for the proscription against eating pork. Back then,
yeah.
people didn't cook meat very well. A lot of meat was actually eaten raw. And when it was
right.
cooked, it was just cooked just barely,
what we would call rare today.
And so they didn't cook meat well, and so they got trichinosis and all kinds of diseases from pork, and so they put a prescription on eating it.
Yes. I mean, ever since I quit eating pork about 5 or 6 years ago, I stopped getting all this swelling in my joints and everything. I don't have that problem anymore, and I think it was directly related to that.
Well, it's probably more related to the nitrates that they put in it.
Very well, maybe. Yeah. That could be. You're right about that. I didn't think about that part of it.
Yeah.
But even eating wild boar and stuff like that, I noticed that problem after I ate it. But, yeah, this is something that I have come across here in Texas talking to some of my friends in the farming industry. They've mentioned a concern of it, and last year at the farm show here in Houston at the rodeo, there were fellows there talking about it, and some of them were a bit upset that this wasn't a concern or becoming a national concern.
Well, it would have a long time ago, except too many people are involved in this business, and they're afraid they're going to lose a lot of money if it becomes
yeah.
known. And you know, I what bothers me is. I wonder why they aren't afraid that they're killing people by not letting it be known so that we can do something about it. Mad cow disease is here. It's been here for a long time. And research doctors who are engaged in medical research are now telling me, the ones that I've talked to, that it may be the cause of Alzheimer's disease. They won't come out and say that it will, but they're saying they're finding the same kind of spongy tissue in the brain of people who died who had Alzheimer's disease that they're finding in the mad cows and the animals that have Downer's cow syndrome. Same exact same thing. And
have you heard of the other side of the research that they're thinking that, or they're finding out that the hydrogenated food products that we are consuming in mass are replacing the natural oils that we should be getting from the grains and other food sources in their natural form. And they're being replaced by these plasticized hydrogenated oils.
Yeah, but that's a different subject. We're on mad cow disease tonight.
Yeah, that's just another angle to it. But you know, a lot of these people in the industry, they look at the mass of humanity as in the same context as their cattle.
Well, as long as it doesn't affect them or their family, they really don't care. That's
yep.
how low our morals have sunk.
Yep.
It's not their concern.
It's about values.
Yeah. Okay, thanks for calling.
Bye, Bill.
520-333-4578 is the number. I managed to be able to look at a cow's brain that was taken out of a cow that died of Downer's cow syndrome. And it does. It looks just like a dishwashing sponge. It's horrible. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi. I was just wondering if I could maybe get a schedule of your broadcasting.
Go to the website, williamcooper.com. Where did that come from? 520-333-4578 is the number. Gee. Unbelievable. 520-333-4578 is the number. Does this shock you? Does it surprise you? It surprised me. It shocked me. And some of the stuff and some of the people I talked to and found out that I didn't publish in that article because I don't want to create a nationwide panic terrified me. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hello, Bill. This is Bill from Michigan.
Hi.
And I wanted to say something on that, particularly those rendering companies that render all that stuff in those packing or the butcher shops and all that.
Uh-huh.
And I'm speaking just from experience in Ohio.
Experience? You mean you worked in one of those places?
Yeah, I worked for the government. And anyway, I knew some rendering boys that used to drive the trucks, and they'd pick up all those bones and fat and all that from us. And they also, what a lot of people don't know, like in Ohio, there's 88 counties, and this particular company was out of Columbus. And they would also go to the dog pounds, pick up all the dead dogs.
Yeah.
So they also would go to the state university and pick up anything that they had, like animals, monkeys, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And they would all go in with the pork, the beef, and rendered in Columbus and sent, I think it was to Cincinnati, to Procter & Gamble.
Yeah.
All this stuff is made into soap, and but also one of the things that I noticed was some of these baking companies, when you like little cakes, particularly in Ohio, there was a cheap 25-cent cake you could buy at the food marts and all that.
Mm-hmm.
But in there it said animal / protein, whatever it was. So I'm suspecting that when they rendered all this stuff, cooked it all up, this is like oil, cheap oil they can use.
Oh, yeah. People would be absolutely amazed to know how much of animals go into all kinds of various products that they use every day that they don't even know is in there. And now they use just about every single part of the animal that there is. Nothing goes to waste.
It's like you just grab a bottle of shampoo and look in there and it'll say protein.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly what it is. But I want people to know they're putting the dead dogs, cats, and it all goes in there.
Yeah. That confirms exactly what I was told when I was making all these phone calls.
Yeah, I used to know those boys. They'd come right out of Columbus and went all over Ohio and picked up every butcher shop, slaughterhouse, anything you want.
That's pretty scary, you know. It makes me want to go dig out that old movie, Soylent Green.
Yeah, that's about what is coming.
Because I'll tell you what. Some of the things that I heard from people makes me wonder if there aren't some dead humans going into this stuff.
Well,
and nobody ever told me that, I got
to
tell you.
That's what I was going to tell you, but I left off on that. One of the boys, he went to a place there in Columbus, one of the major universities, I won't identify it, but he grabbed the barrel, tore it out there, and there was a human leg in it. And the boy came running out and said, oh, that's not supposed to go.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
That's just what was on top.
See, that's, I heard wafts of that in some of the conversations that I had with people. That,
yeah. Okay, Bill, I just wanted you to know that.
Okay.
Hope folks know that.
Thank you.
See you, Bill.
That's pretty spooky stuff. It really is. I had no idea, you know. In fact, I was interested in mad cow disease, and I wanted to know, you know, how this, because AIDS is from a sheep virus, believe it or not, and now here's this sheep disease in cattle infecting all the cattle in Europe, and I wanted to find out what the hell was going on. Did it have any connection with AIDS virus or biological warfare programs or anything like that, And then when the Food and Drug Administration said that gelatin, a common product that every family consumes all the time in Jell-O, and my grandmother used to buy Knox gelatin and drink a glass of it every day for her fingernails and her hair, when they said that was no longer fit for human consumption, that's when I started this research, and what I found out just chilled me to the bone. Good evening, you're on the air.
Hey, I'm sorry about that. I was bad recording problem. I just wanted to know if you guys had a website or
WilliamCooper.com.
Wait a minute, I got to write this down.
WilliamCooper.com. If you can't remember that, then you've already got mad cow disease. 520-333-4578 is the number. That's the same guy. Called it one on a radio schedule. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi, Bill. I have a couple little questions for you about this mad cow disease.
Well, I'll answer them if I can. I'm not a doctor, but I've done a lot of research, and I might be able to answer them. Go ahead.
Okay. If a cow is infected, how long does it take before it shows up in the brain?
Well, from what I found out from talking to veterinarians and the people who have been studying this mad cow disease thing in Europe, in animals, there's about a five-year incubation period. Takes about 5 years before there are outward symptoms that the animal has the disease. In humans, it's about 10 years.
So if a person were raising their own cattle, you'd have to wait about 5 years and then inspect the brain before you could eat the meat.
Well, I'll tell you what, from what I've learned, I think it's going to be a cold day in hell before I ever eat any meat again.
Yeah,
I mean, they scared me. They succeeded. They scared me. I'm a meat eater. I love a steak. I love a hamburger. But I got to tell you, when I did this research, they scared me.
Well, a lot of what you've talked about tonight, I had read about a year ago, except the only thing that you reported differently is that I had read that cooking it well would kill it.
No.
And it does not.
No.
Huh?
Nope. Does not kill prions.
And this is, I'd also read that it's getting into wild animals, that they found it in, like, raccoons and possums.
Yeah, they found it in the wild animals in Montana already.
Okay. Well, that's all I had then.
You know, I could have written a book on what I discovered in this research, but I, people need to know about it, so I wrote an article I tried to make it scary enough to make people concerned, but not tell them everything that I learned so not to cause a national panic, because this is really spooky stuff.
Well, it has me concerned as well.
It's got me concerned enough that I'm, salad, here I come.
Yeah. All right, thanks a lot.
You're welcome.
Good night.
Thanks for calling. Yeah, olive oil, salad, beans. You know, those pinto beans looking mighty good to me right now.